Hello, everyone. My name is Matt Hollingsworth, and welcome to another episode of The Remote Show, where we discuss everything to do with remote work with the people who know it best. Thanks so much for listening. The Remote Show is brought to you by WeWork Remotely, the largest community of remote workers in the world. With over 220,000 unique users per month, WeWork Remotely is the most effective way to hire. My guest on today's show is Tyler Selhorn. Tyler is a remote work advocate, and many of you have probably seen or heard him on social media or LinkedIn or other platforms where he shares ideas, concepts, and learnings around remote work. He is also the Director of Customer Success at Hubstaff, which is an all-in-one work time tracker for managing field or remote teams. This episode was somewhat of a trial or intro podcast, as Tyler will be helping us out with the remote show moving forward as a host. Please enjoy. Tyler, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Matt. Really a big fan of WeWork Remotely, the remote show, the whole nine yards. I'm a huge fan. So it's truly my pleasure to be here with you today.
Oh, that's exciting. That doesn't happen often to me where I get to talk to fans of the show. I know that some people listen to it, but that's always nice to hear. So I appreciate that. So the first question, as you I'm sure have heard, is what is the thing that you've done, accomplished, or otherwise over the past 12 months that you're most proud of?
Well, my boss is not quick to offer praise. And over the past, I'd say 6 months, we've been working towards, you know, building up some organizational software updates. Some different things have happened inside of the officer level of our company, and we've added a sales team. I lead the customer experience team. And so one of the things that was said to me just yesterday was impressed and trying to find, how do we keep you around forever? Like, those are the types of things that you always hope to hear from your boss. And you know, what am I most proud of? I'm proud of the influence that I've been able to have both inside and outside of Hubstaff, and especially with my relationship with my direct manager.
That's great. Yeah, that is definitely a high praise, especially for somebody who doesn't necessarily give up praise very often. So it's extra special. So, well, we will get into all of the stuff related to Hubstaff and your role there and your remote experience with that company. They're longstanding WeWork Remotely users, and we're big fans of what you and the team has built there. So we'll get into that. But I wanted to start off by just talking about why we're having this podcast specifically, why we're recording this. And outside of just wanting to talk to you about remote related things, this could be a regular occurrence. Just so everybody knows who's listening, there's a good chance that Tyler will be helping us out on the podcasting side over the next, I don't want to give a timeline here because there's lots of things going on, but there's a good chance that Tyler will be helping us out with this. And so what we're doing here today is we're just giving Tyler a chance to introduce himself, getting into the things that we would like to do with the podcast when it comes to the content and the guests and all that kind of stuff. So that was the goal of this show. And this is a more of a welcome for Tyler and to get to know him better. So on that note, Tyler, do you want to give us a bit about your background, where you started, your career, and anything else that you think is relevant for this conversation and by way of intro?
Well, just to give a little background about me professionally, I started out as a professional educator for 13 years, mostly in mathematics education in the secondary schools. I'd always been a technology-oriented educator. I automated lots and lots of things that teachers, you know, often take home on the weekend, a stack of papers and all that sort of thing. I did my best to try and digitize and make those things automated and build processes around and iterate and systems thinking about how I did my job. And so I really saw an opportunity when I was studying for an Ed Leadership Master's to kind of like transition into like teaching other teachers how to use technology well. And I was starting to do some networking in that space, and I just, you know, doors kept shutting in my face. So I said, okay, I'm going to stop asking those people for permission to do the next thing. And I said, okay, if I used to be a technology-oriented educator, I'd like to be an education-oriented technologist, right? And so what's really cool is that that turned out to be a much better remunerated position than the technology educator. So I'm really excited about the opportunity that remote working has provided me and my family. My spouse is a therapist, and I've learned how to have a great helping relationship through her. And it's been a really awesome opportunity for me to experience, you know, using some skills that I've developed in other places as an educator and kind of, you know, leaning into how that might become a thing for me inside of a technology company. So some of the things that I've really learned outside of this job, like, you know, now I've become a remote leader, a leader in a fully distributed team that spans from Seattle to Melbourne. You know, how do you make it as a leader in a space where you're talking about leading teams in a cross-cultural, global fashion? I've leaned on the lessons that I've learned as a dad and as a sports coach. One of the things that we always joke about in our family that I ended up doing a thing where I was long distance with my wife while she was in graduate school. And so we kind of joked that I earned an associate's degree in clinical psychology with her. And so one of my favorite things that I learned from that experience was Carl Rogers. He's a titan of 20th century psychology. One of his concepts is unconditional positive regard. So what does that mean? Well, you know, it means that, okay, we're going to have the opportunity to say, okay, to this other person, I'm here to help you, right? I'm here to help you hold the space for you to become your best self, right? And that's one of the things that I'm really, really excited about doing here inside of this space is the potential for the opportunity to meet lots of people and hold space for them to present themselves as their very best selves and for us to learn from one another in that space.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I think ends up working very well in the podcasting space. And what makes for a good show, I think, is when we have somebody who's leading the show and interviewing people who is clearly interested in what they do and learning from them. I always find that with podcasts that I listen, I'm a podcast fan as much as I am a, well, very much more than I am a podcaster myself. And what I always find is I love shows that are run by people who clearly are just curious people and want to learn for themselves, but also want to teach others in the process of them learning through whoever they're interviewing. So I get that very much from you. And I think that's why we are pursuing this. We're going to be pursuing this in a more intentional and sequenced ways because we have, especially the context we're in now, where we have lots of people, we have lots of companies that are looking to learn how to do this remote thing and do it well. And we are now settling into this normalcy of being distributed, whatever that means for everybody. It means different things for different people, but I think we are uniquely positioned to teach and hopefully learn ourselves. So that is why I'm really excited to talk to you and learn from you and have you learn from others through the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the big things that I've learned as a father. There's a lot of mistakes being made out there in the world of distributed work right now. And we don't want to put people in their place and like point fingers. The thing that we want to do is we want to choose curiosity over judgment, right? We want to lean into, you know, my little phrase that I put out there on the internet is learning out loud, right? And that's exactly what we're doing on podcasts is we're taking the time to be thinking and talking and doing that metacognitive, not just thinking of inside of what we're doing, but also thinking about what we're doing, thinking at that level where we're thinking, is this serving us still? Or should we put it down and pick something else up, right? What are the things that we want to be able to do? I like to kind of joke, you know, because of my background in team sports, right, that I'd like to be known as the Ted Lasso of remote work, right? You know, that I'm kind of that rah-rah, you know, enthusiastic, air horns guy of saying, okay, let's lean into the we, us, ours of, you know, that's one of the things I'm really grateful to have learned from the Snyder football is where I am still the technology coordinator here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's really, really cool to take lessons from other parts of life and apply them and bring them back to here. And I'm so excited to have the opportunity to potentially, you know, be learning from the very best minds who've spent lots of time thinking about remote work, as well as the people that are just now engaging with it and figuring things out for themselves and learning from best practices, but also learning from new perspectives as they come in to this way of working.
Yeah. And especially now where it's going to become a popular space, but I think we are, like I said before, uniquely positioned to help people as they move and transition into more of a remote, consistently remote work environment. So that is something that we've thought a lot about as well. And we're, like I said, we're excited to talk to you more and have you on the show more and let you lead this thing if all the stars align. I would like to just get into, now that we've learned a little bit about you, I would love to know, you mentioned before some of the issues that are happening right now with remote work and some of the problems that have come up that you've seen recently, and maybe not recently, but just in general. Can you speak to one in particular that you are seeing quite often with remote teams?
I think the big thing is that I see a lack of intentionality, right? And what are some of the things that, you know, are the knock-on effects of not doing things on purpose, right? the one that's sort of been talked about by a lot of people, but I want to highlight as well, is the idea that instead of being in 5-6 hours of a conference room meeting space in a co-located environment, we're going to be in 5-6 hours of a Zoom meeting in a distributed environment, right? That type of on-camera expectation of being seen, being visible, is really not leveraging the power of distributed work, right? Just to drop some names here, like I really, really appreciate Matt Mullenweg's levels of remote working and taking steps towards asynchronous work. Because when we say, okay, we must be in the same space for 8.5-9 hours plus a day, right? And now we're not in the same space 8.5-9 hours a day. What are we going to do instead? What is that time going to be filled with instead? And what it should be filled with is the opportunity to execute on goals, right? Execute towards completing tasks that really do move the needle in a asynchronous, quiet, in your own space, and then be able to then take that back to the team and then iterate together of, okay, here's this things that I've thought about and worked on. And there might be short bursts of synchronous activity, or there might be short bursts of activity that's happening with people that you may not even share very much overlap at all with. Like, you know, our Asia Pacific team, inside of our team, we work on process documents at completely different times, but we are able to collaborate in a way that's really, really effective and aligned because we're working in the same spaces asynchronously. You know, we're working on the same documents. We're working on the same processes. They might be answering the requests of customers that are in their time zones, but we're all doing the same things because we have leaned into the fact that the sun does not revolve around Eastern Standard Time, right? That's not the way it works in physics, nor the way it works in remote work.
Yeah. We'll get into the Hubstaff piece. I think you have a skill set here with your team, and you can speak from personal experience, which I think is a really important thing for something like this as well. One thing I was curious to hear your thoughts on, and this is throwing you into the deep end just a little bit, but it's fun for me to do that because I'm interviewing you. So
I'm here for it, Matt.
All right. So what do you think are the potential unforeseen knock-on effects of remote and the speed that it's happened over the past year? So I'll expand on that a little bit by way of saying there's a lot of conversation around what this means for work, what this means for locations of people and where they choose to live. Is there anything that you think of that might be against the grain in this capacity, or anything uniquely that's maybe a bit different that you can speak to, or opinions you have about what this means for work in general?
Well, I think work from home is the responsible thing to do for companies right now during the midst of a global pandemic. That's the responsible thing to do right now. But the thing that's responsible going forward in 2021 and beyond, you know, post-vaccine, is going to be working from anywhere. And I don't think that there's going to be a lot of benefit to people saying, I just want to be in the office 2 days, 3 days a week, because there's all of that commute time. There's all of that wasted effort of being in the same space. And I mean that when I say wasted, because when you really lean into setting your team up to be a remote first company, there are benefits that exceed the collaboration benefits that might occur in a co-located environment. And I think people have started to embrace the idea of working remotely because they've seen their teams be productive in a distributed fashion. But the problem is that we're shifting our mindset towards work from home, and we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to be stuck in one spot or inside of one building that's where we also live. Well, that's not remote working was before. What remote working was before was, in my life, I had the opportunity to take calls from the gym lobby or to meet a friend for lunch and then work from that cafe for the rest of the afternoon. I think it's really important that we not assume that the experience of 2020's work from home should be our experience going forward. So we shouldn't reject the aspects of working from home that are not so great, because those are going to go away by being able to leave your house. And the things that you want to get back to are giving a hug or traveling. It's not either or. This remote working thing is not either or. It is both and. And when we say work from anywhere, we are saying you can be co-located, but do it like so many other remote companies have done before, where we say, okay, we're going to have quarterly onsites at the headquarters, and everybody's going to fly in from wherever, and we're going to do our kickoff. And then, you know, annually, we're going to have a automatic calls it a grand meetup. We're going to have an opportunity for us to all be together, and we're all going to have a shared, you know, space. You know, those things are important, but at what cost, right? Should they be every day? Should they even be at all in like an office co-located environment? I think it's really important for us to not assume that the experience of 2020 is the experience of remote working past a vaccine being broadly distributed.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good point. I would like to also add too that, and you spoke a bit about this, but remote working can be done successfully for long periods of time, and it's sustainable, and you can grow companies. People have done it, right? There's the Jason Fried and DHH of the world that have built very large businesses from a remote first standpoint. So it's not like everybody...
The Zapier guys, this week, you know, they got an injection of capital because I'm guessing that they're de-risking or paying off some debt at some point. But you know, like they're an example of another, you know, quote unquote unicorn company that started and stayed remote for their entire existence.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I think what the show can be and what we're hoping to do at WeWork Remotely more generally for our content and our positioning is just to speak to that and say, hey, I know this is an anxious time and people are scrambling a bit, and I don't want to diminish that because that is the experience of a lot of people.
Of course.
But there are ways of doing this successfully for a long period of time that you can do it and enjoy your work and probably enjoy your work more than you did before. And for those people who are curious about, I was able to, fortunate enough to talk to Wade actually on the podcast a while back. So you can go back and listen to that one because that's a good conversation as well. But that's what I'm hoping to get out of this show is talking to those people who have done this successfully to give people a bit of a framework for being successful long-term in a remote capacity.
For sure. I think it's really, really important for us to continue to bring forward the voices of those that have done it successfully and those that are learning from those people and finding success again. You know, we need to find the social proof. We need to find the repeatability of these learnings that have occurred. I think it's really important for us to kind of say, you know, this isn't the first era of remote work ever. It just happens to be that the internet has really made it a lot easier for a lot more people to do it. My favorite metaphor for remote working is a naval captain. My home office is kind of a nautical themed setup here. And I really lean into that idea because when you think about, okay, you're going to go off on a mission and you have to have really clear parameters around what you're going to be going to accomplish because there's asynchronous communication. You're not going to be able to stay in direct contact all the time. You're going to have to do some dead reckoning based upon the stars and celestial bodies to be able to find out, okay, where are we at in this thing, right? You're going to have to stay connected with routines and procedure and all of those sorts of things that you would say, okay, we're going to have a first watch, second watch on the bells. I mean, there's kind of silly when you start doing the metaphor thing, you extend it too far, but you know, that's a really great place for us to say, you know what, remote working has been a part of our world for much longer than today. It's been a part of our world for much longer than that. And we need to recognize that we don't have to have all of the answers. We can pay attention to those that have already figured out so many things and learn from their experience. That's been my experience, right? I learned how to be a successful remote worker and got promoted inside of 6 months because of the learning out loud that you and the WeWork Remotely community has been doing. I connected to Laurel Farrar, Lisette Sutherland, Tammy Bjelland, the Darrens, Buckner and Murph, Matt Mullenweg. You mentioned the Basecamp guys, right? I learned how to do customer experience things from the podcasts and resources that are already out there. Today in the information age, we don't have a limit on the amount of information that's out there. We just need to be smart about who we're listening to that have already curated that information to help us be successful. WeWork Remotely is one of those sources that says, okay, I'm going to pivot my stuff off of WeWork Remotely because they've figured it out and they're helping companies that are doing it well. And I'm going to align myself with brands like that so that I am successful doing the same things because of the benefits it brings.
Yeah. And for us too, it's great because obviously our business is dependent on the remote nature of work and the growth of that. But we also are remote workers. We're trying to figure it out alongside everybody else. And what's so interesting, and this comes up a lot too, because I have a small team that I manage and I help with the business. And it's always funny to me when I think about my day to day and I think, oh, I just had this conversation about over communication or writing more clearly or not having to ping somebody when they're in their deep work and all this kind of stuff where I talk about it all the time. And yet I still find myself having to stop myself from doing those things because to your point about intentionality, like even for myself who should be a very good remote worker and hopefully I'm better than what I was and still it's hard. So, and that's something I think is important is like remote working is hard. I think the benefits vastly outweigh the negatives, but it's something you need to be on a daily basis thinking about getting better at. And so actually this is a good segue to my next question for you is, what has been the biggest challenge for you? You've got a lot of resources and you're good at what you do and you've been promoted, but what is the biggest challenge that you're finding for remote distributed teams?
I think the things that are hardest are the things that have always been hard about global teams. You know, it's time zones. How to manage the fact that we don't all work at the same time, more so than we don't all work in the same office, right? The big thing that's really difficult about small companies like ours, that we are distributing our software worldwide and supporting it worldwide, how do you stay connected with people? You know, our hardest time zone, we have inside of our team, we have 4 people that are plus 12 from EST. That's as hard as it gets, right? So one of the things that I really see a lot of benefit from and like I've had to work hard to solve is that I am a dad, right? So I work 90 minutes before my children eat breakfast. And this is the beauty of remote work is being able to fit the things that you need to do into your life rather than the other way around, where it was so much more of like, here is this chunk of time, you're commuting, all of that. And it just owns you for the vast majority of your day. Instead of like, for me, compared to teaching school, working remotely is like taking a day off of school every day. Right? Because I'm able to organize my working time around my responsibilities as a father, responsibilities as a husband, other things that I do in my life, like coaching team sports. Those are things that I have the opportunity to put as the priority in my calendar day. And then, you know what? If I work those 90 minutes before breakfast, now I've got 90 minutes where I do overlap the working time of the people that are 12 hours ahead of me in the day. And now I can space out what I'm doing and have the space to be able to exercise and to take time for my mental health in the middle of my day, and that I can go and meet a friend for lunch and not feel like I'm rushed or that I've got to get back to the office because we've got this coat hanger kind of accountability that like I'm back, right? I've heard jokes about people that would get a relationship with the morning janitor to turn on their computer and their lights so that it appeared that they arrived first. And then they, you know, strolled in later in the day at their first meeting. You know, games like that that get played in a co-located environment, don't do that. You know, sharing the power of when you do your work with the people that are doing the work is an absolute cheat code. And why more people aren't grabbing onto that as an idea, and I think more and more are, but I think that that's really, really key for us to have that understanding that it's possible for us to be even better than we were by doing it in this new way.
There's a lot there that we can pick apart, but the one piece, and it just reminds me of Jason Fried, who listeners will know I'm a big fan of, and I was able to talk to you on the show too, but he has this quote, it's not going to be verbatim, but the company isn't a family, but the company supports families, which is
yes.
Your point where it's like, I think that structuring and framing the company as a family is not the right mentality because you make sacrifices that you wouldn't have otherwise made for those people that are your family. And what a company should be is, as you have structured your life around your priorities, which are your family, it should be the company supports you in doing so. And then you work there to be able to support your family. So that's something that sticks out to me as a really underappreciated component of remote work and what that does for people.
Yeah, I am incredibly grateful for those that have gone before me and my experience with remote working and the ways that they've been intentional and on purpose about things. We are supporting the opportunity for people to choose their best lives when they work remotely. You were mentioning earlier, just like what's going to happen? Like what are some of the knock-on effects of more and more people working in a distributed fashion, right? Well, it means that people are going to live close to family, right? So often I'm here in the post-industrial Midwest, right? And there's so many of our, you know, university graduates that go to find work on the coasts here in the United States. And it's really hard for all of the best and brightest to just depart from their home as soon as they get to adulthood, mm-hmm. right? I think you're going to see a transformation of those home districts, you know, that we think of going back home or having grown up in a place. Those places are going to be transformed. It's already happening here in Fort Wayne because of our history in the railroad industry. The internet pipes go right past our homes, right? And so I think small and medium-sized cities like Fort Wayne are going to have a boom because the cost of living is low and the quality of life is high. And we have great internet. So even just kind of the defaults of what is happening, kind of shifting even a little bit, is going to completely transform communities like the one I live in.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's so cool is that what we're seeing among some of the more, I don't want to pass judgment here, but some of the more thoughtful companies is that equal pay no matter where you are, right? So to me, it makes total sense. If the output is the same, it shouldn't really matter where you are and in terms of your pay, right? And then all of a sudden, places like yours, where I am in Victoria and BC, Canada, it's a small city, but also fairly tech heavy. So I don't think it's going to be affected as much, but you can imagine the knock-on effects of what this does for small towns that have a lot to offer. And the quality of life is so high, as you said, that all of a sudden people from home can make the same salaries as if they were on the coast. And that's going to see, I think, a complete resurgence of small towns, what that does for the infrastructure there, and just the appeal of these places that just offer a quieter, maybe more sane existence. And I don't know, I think that we're seeing that play out, and it'll be interesting to continue to see how that goes both in the US and across the world.
I agree. I'm really excited to see the knock-on effects that are there. And obviously, we need to be considered and thoughtful about the negative effects that are going to happen too, right? I was reading this week what's going to happen to some of those places that, you know, commercial real estate, I wouldn't want to be long on that right now. That's going to be a hard transition. But even those spaces, you know, in a post-pandemic world, we're going to have to refit. So what are you going to refit with? Well, we've got a housing crisis in so many of those major metros that have a bunch of office space standing empty. Well, what are you going to do about it, right? I think the companies that have leaned into that there is going to be an adjustment, there is something to adapt to here. The ones that do that and find a way to leverage the new environment in a way that serves everyone are going to be successful no matter what. But the ones that want to hold on to a way of doing things that was pre-2020, this is an epoch change. There is going to be a before and after of this moment. And what are we going to do inside of this transition? But also, we can't hold on to what was before unless it is still serving us. We've got to be smart about that. We've got to take stock of how things are going and how things will be going here soon. And we need to adjust.
Yeah. And we'll be there for the ride as it comes. And hopefully we can continue to have these kinds of conversations. I will be cognizant of your time here, Tyler, and appreciate you coming on to do this with us. A couple more closing questions here. And then I could talk to you for hours and hours, but we'll save that for a different time. One question for you specifically, because there's a good chance here that you're going to be leading these conversations and having guests on through this feed. What is your dream guest if you had to choose one, and why is that the case?
Okay. If you make me choose one, my heroine is Brené Brown. And she's obviously popping here in the podcast space here recently. You know, she launched Unlocking Us. I highly recommend her podcast. And she's also got Dare to Lead on the Spotify deal. I'm not as much of a fan of the whole like inside this, but that's like too much inside baseball for podcast stuff. But if I was to say, who do I want to talk to most, right? It'd be Brené Brown. I lead our customer experience team at Hubstaff using her principles. You know, I've mentioned it before about, you know, holding space for others to become their best selves, right? She kind of, you know, does a lot of rhyming with Carol Dweck and growth mindset, right? And really thinking about, okay, how do we share power in this environment? And that's really, I think, a big part of what remote working is about, is that there is a shift towards the end user and their power to decide and to be in control of their work environment, of their home environment, of their working conditions, because we can do it virtually inside of the device, right? The work that we're doing is not tied to a specific location anymore. And that's the right thing to do. And so I would be really, really excited to talk to Brené Brown in the context of thinking about the ways that she has noticed societal changes and the ways that we approach one another and relationships inside of work, outside of work, and being able to say, okay, let's dare to lead the next decade, next century of working in a way that respects the power that should be shared and can grow when we share it amongst one another.
Yeah, that's awesome. Might be an opportunity for us to make that happen for both of you, and for it would be great to have her on the show as well. So we will try to make that happen, and listeners should stay tuned for that. Okay, Tyler, so I have one more closing question for you. As always, maybe you've had a chance to think about that and maybe you haven't. What is the best advice you've ever been given?
So the best advice that I was given was by my former principal, who had moved on to another job. And I was in the midst of that space where I was studying for an Ed Leadership Master's and kind of finishing up and trying to network to the next thing. And she was kind of recognizing that she'd had a similar experience with the same people that I was running into, of like not really getting the yes from the people that I needed to get a yes from to do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing that she said was, you don't need their permission to do the next thing. And I think the thing that has really transformed my life here in, you know, I'm 38 years old now. Back in 2019, when I started, you know, scrolling the internet and found weworkremotely.com, that, hey, I don't actually need their permission to do the next thing, right? I really can become an education-oriented technologist instead of a technology-oriented educator. That like I can make that pivot, that there is an opportunity for me to choose to do something different, right? And no one else has to say yes to that for that to happen for me. And I just want to encourage anybody else that's out there listening and you know, thinking about, can I make this change? Can I make this transition? Yes, you can. And I also want to encourage you to do it out loud, right? To do it in a way that other people can see and can be rooting you on. It's been my pleasure to meet and connect with people, you know, on the internet, people that are only internet acquaintances, and encourage them to do the very same thing I did. The information is available. You can find it. Make a decision to go and seek it, and then do the thing that you have always been wanting to do. It's possible for you too.
Yeah, that's a great message. And couldn't agree more with what you're saying. It was the same sort of thing for me. And I've told my origin story for remote work before, so I won't go into that too much. But there are so many amazing people out there that want to see you succeed, and getting in touch with those people, Tyler being one of those people, but there are many others, will help you and will encourage you to do those things that you want to do. And as Tyler mentioned, it's very much possible, and it's out there, and it's free to use, and there's no limitations and nothing in your way. So I think that's a great way to end this conversation. Tyler, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we will come up with, well, we'll let you all know about the next steps here and provide more information as it comes up. But yeah, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we look forward to working with you more.
It was a dream come true. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks so much again for listening to the show. Be sure to check out weworkremotely.com for the latest remote jobs. And if you're looking to hire a remote worker, WeWork Remotely is the fastest and easiest way to do so. As always, if you have someone we should talk to, any advice you have, or if you'd like to advertise on the podcast, please reach out to us at podcast@weworkremotely.com. That's podcast@weworkremotely.com. Thanks so much again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.